Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, an editor of SearchCIO.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast series on service-oriented architecture, or SOA, trends. I'm joined today by Dana Gardner, President and Principal Analyst for Inter Arbor Solutions, LLC. Dana is a leading identifier of software productivity trends and new IT business value opportunities. He tracks and analyzes a critical set of enterprise software technologies and business development issues, including service-oriented architecture, web services, integration, application development tools, and application delivery optimization techniques. Prior to starting up Inter Arbor Solutions, Dana was a senior analyst in the Application Infrastructure and Software Platforms Decision Service at Yankee Group Research Incorporated, where he advised clients on enterprise software technologies, software trends and developments, and application development and deployment strategies. He has also been designated a top industry influencer for IT industry analysts by Technology Marketing Magazine in both 2001 and 2002. He helped earn a Best Trade Tabloid Maggie Award for Western Publications Association in 1998 and was a top computer journalist for electronic publications awarded by Marketing Computers in 1996. Welcome, Dana.
Hey, it's great to be here, Karen.
Great. As I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about SOA trends. Today's podcast presentation will be broken into three segments, each 10 to 15 minutes in length, and a series of podcasts will include discussions on vendor market consolidation, the role of the SOA architect, and the total architecture. Today's second presentation is on the role of the SOA architect. In this second podcast, I'll ask Dana a number of questions regarding the role of the SOA architect in the enterprise. What does the organization need to cultivate a SOA culture, and what type of skills should a CIO be looking for in a SOA architect hire? So, Dana, let's get started on our questions. My first question for you today is, what is the job market like for SOA architects? Are they hard to find, high in demand? What are your thoughts on that?
They are hard to find. They are in high demand. And if you're someone who has the credentials to call yourself a SOA architect, then the world is your oyster, because this is a difficult combination of assets and experience skills. And that's because in order to make service-oriented architecture work, it's about delving into areas that had been previously closed off or isolated, allowing for collaboration and conceptual integration between what IT functions are and do and what business processes do and want to do and evolve into. And so this is about an individual or a team that needs to cross chasms and counter boundary issues effectively. And so they need to have a depth of knowledge in IT, both what's been in place and what's coming down the pike, so to speak. They also need to have a grounding in what the business functions are. What is the strategy and direction of a company? How are the business functions going to be supported by IT? And then, of course, they need to have the ability to develop consensus and enthusiasm and buy-in from different parties within these different camps across their organization, as well as work well with the vendor community that they're involved with, perhaps have a sense of what's going on in an open source community. So these are people that have a very diverse, multi-functional background and be not only good wonks at IT, but be really good at people skills as well.
Or would you say it's easier to find skilled SOA architects in the U.S. or overseas?
No, I don't think there's any geographic boundary on this. This is really about someone who's had background either coming from the business side or the IT side, but with a grounding in both. You know, some companies have referred to this as a T person. You want them to have a horizontal access on the business understanding, and then a vertical access on the IT understanding to be able to pull it together. And you need to sell IT to the business people, and you need to sell the business issues to the IT people. Now, there are going to be cultural differences between markets, and in some countries there might be more of a cultural bias towards resisting confrontation and different ways of building consensus. But however consensus is built in a company, it doesn't matter how, it just needs to take place. So another way to look at the difference between a SOA architect and perhaps what's been known as an enterprise architect, is that they need to have a wider purview. They need to be looking at the issues from a little bit of a higher abstraction of perspective. And to use an analogy that I think is quite effective, it's the difference between an architect in the physical world who might design a building and a town planner who might actually be looking at designing an entire community, which would include infrastructure like sewer and water and electric. It might be looking at traffic patterns and what needs to take place for roads or parking lots. It's really the entire ecosystem of a town that is closer to the notion of what a solo architect would do versus, say, an enterprise architect that in the past was focused on specific application platforms, perhaps an integration between certain types of applications and between the support of an IT function versus the entire IT business continuum.
Now, that makes sense. Now, what about training, you know, your current internal staff? Is it possible to train them to get up to speed to be a solo architect? Is that the best idea? Or just hiring outside or a fresh person with just those specific skills would be better?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've asked several people that, and I think it's important, at least for the early years of SOA, to probably want to look at these people internally, because one of the biggest issues with SOA is the fact that your SOA is going to be different from anybody else's, and it's dependent upon where you've been for the last 15 years and how IT has evolved within your organization. You also, of course, want people to be well-grounded in your business and understanding what processes are going to be important, what strategic directions are going to be undertaken, and how IT is going to support that. So I think internal is probably the best first place to look, at least in your opening years of SOA, for these SOA architect types of people. And I also would emphasize it's probably not going to be a single person, but really a team, and that you can find some of these competencies while, you know, maybe not every individual is going to have these issues and understanding and background, but a small team that is perhaps the office of SOA architect could pull together these, and you could have a combination in that regard of inside and outside, because you would perhaps want to bring in some fresh blood and understanding some of the newer technological directions that you're heading in. Now, there have been some certification programs that have been put together. I believe the Open Group is putting together a comprehensive SOA architecture definition of how people could say, do I have what it takes? Do my skills match? And if not, what do I need to bone up on or learn in order to fill out properly? The SOA consortium, which is set up by the ONG, the Object Management Group, is also working along these lines. And so there have been some structured approaches. But conceptually, I think you want to look internally. You want to look at a people or a small team that has multidimensional backgrounds that can be people-oriented, consensus builders, as well as IT literate and expert in terms of the technical specification set. And then, of course, you're going to want to look for someone that can, or a team that can put together that higher perspective, not just looking inside a silo or a platform, but looking at the entire picture of thinking about the implications for the transformation of the business over the next 5 years.
So for a company that's big enough to need a team or an office of the SOA architect, as you mentioned, can you talk a little bit about, briefly, about what type of roles would be on that team? Like why you would need a team? You know, what aspects would need to be covered?
Sure. You might look to a team because this is an awful lot to ask of one person. You might also recognize that because the marketplace is very much in the demand side, that if you have a really great single person with all of these capabilities, there are going to be other people knocking on their door saying, hey, please come work with us, and we'll make it worth your while. So you might want to reduce your risk of losing this essential person by spreading some of the skill and responsibility around, and so that the disruption that might occur in personnel shifting might be reduced by having this spread around a team. You also probably want to have somebody who is responsible for being close to an IT set, a liaison with people who are focused on a business strategy or initiative. You're probably going to have at least one of these people on the board of directors of the company in order to be a liaison in that direction so that you know what the strategy and direction of the company is and that it's got the buy-in and support at the board level, so that when a cross-dimensional decision set needs to take place, an investment needs to take place in both IT and business, and change needs to happen at the organizational level, that you have the back to accomplish that. So I think it makes sense for a team to have different feet and different aspects, different power points of power within the organization, and also to reduce your risk that if you have all of it invested in a single person and that person leaves, that you don't have to start from scratch.
No, that makes perfect sense, actually. And I actually have one time for one more question. How can a SOA architect help cultivate a SOA-centered culture?
Yeah, that's essential, and I think you turned it just right, a SOA culture. This is really transformational, and it does require buy-in and enthusiasm. And if people put their heels in the ground and decide that SOA is not in their best interest, or they don't think it's good for the company, you're going to have a heck of a time implementing these things. So it does require buy-in and consensus building, and you need to explain why these things make sense. And in many cases, they do. If you look at the way companies operate today, with chaos and isolation and a very difficult long period of time for IT to support change in business, that doesn't make sense. And so in order to get that buy-in and explain why these changes are essential, you know, people's own livelihoods and jobs are ultimately at stake. If the company doesn't succeed in the modern world, where other companies, regardless of their location around the world, are implementing some of these SOA benefits, they can beat you to market, they can adjust to a market more swiftly, they can reduce their costs by instigating process efficiency and productivity improvement on a large scale. If you don't get the buy-in and you don't get the change in approaches that SOA supports, then you'll be out of a job, you'll be out of business. So somebody needs to explain that, not just in technical terms, but in real-world terms, real-life terms.
And that's the role of a SOA architect.
I think so. Perfect. I mean, they have to be an advocate and almost a politician, as well as just a decision-maker about strategy and technology.
Well, that's all the questions we have time for today. Any last-minute comments on today's topic that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, I would say that for those people that feel good about their skills, that like to talk about these issues, that are really energized by high-level productivity improvements, that have a background as a developer or an existing enterprise architect, that they should seriously consider advancing their career by embracing the role of a SOA architect, do a little bit of research and find out what it is that the market is demanding of SOA architects, and pursue it. I think it's an excellent job, and it would make for a very good lifestyle and fulfillment of occupation.
Great. And on that note, that concludes our second podcast in the SOA Trend Series. Check out the webcast and podcast section on searchcio.com for direct links to the first and third installment in this SOA series. Thanks again to David Gardner for speaking with us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.